Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 13th day of August 2020. It is a Thursday. That's right, Thursday. The weekend is almost upon us. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Action-packed as always. Yes, the Democrats are excited. And by that, I mean the media is excited. The left is excited about Kamala Harris. Nobody can really explain why they're excited that Kamala Harris was picked by Joe Biden, except that she's historic. And did I mention that it's historic? Yes, her greatest accomplishment, according to everything that I've seen, is being born. That's right. Her skin color. Congratulations to Kamala Harris for being born, I guess. I don't know. I would aim a little bit higher, but I think I could even find something that she's done aside from being born that would be worth mentioning in a story. But damn, she's historic. Did I mention she's historic? That is the buzzword of today. If we were playing a drinking game and I said, take a shot every time somebody says the word historic in the media, you would be dead or an honorary Kennedy inside of 20 minutes. So much to get to today. Realistically, I mean, Kamala Harris got into politics because she was screwing around with Willie Brown, who was then the Speaker of the House out in California, and he appointed her to a job, a couple of political jobs. So she parlayed her affair with a married man into a political career. Monica Lewinsky was the last person I can recall who parlayed a career in or an affair into a job. She got a job in New York to get away from Washington. She wanted to get as far away from politics as possible because Bill Clinton and the political world left a bad taste in her mouth. But apparently, Kamala Harris had no such problem with Willie Brown's Willie. Yeah, I'm not making this up. He admits it to the world. He was quite proud of nailing a chick 30 years younger than him while he was married. It's a hell of a party you got over there. Anyway, we've got that to get to. There was a Senate debate up in Massachusetts that was really hilarious. Speaking of Kennedys, a Kennedy, Joseph Kennedy III. God, they have like five names to choose from. You ever notice that anybody even tangentially related to the Kennedys throws Kennedy in their name somewhere? William Kennedy Smith, probably not the best one. They probably want him to remove that. Or Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. They never get rid of the Kennedy. Why? Because if all else fails and they get bored of living off of the family trust, they can go into politics and that Kennedy name will serve them well because Democrats are idiots for the Kennedys. John Kennedy could not get a daytime speaking slot in the opening day of a Democratic convention, even this one. They wouldn't let him do a Zoom call that four people are watching under the banner of the Democratic National Committee today because he was anti-communist. He was a womanizer, two strikes, although they're having Bill Clinton speak. And he loved this country. He served this country. And Democrats don't appreciate those things anymore. He also cut taxes to spur the economy. That's a no-no. So John F. Kennedy, if he were alive today, would not be welcomed in the Democratic Party. But they will dine out on the memory of him. I think most of the people who are nostalgic for Kennedy grew up in a household with a picture of Kennedy hanging on the wall next to a picture of Jesus, because Kennedy was the first Catholic president, and all the Catholics are like, oh, we've got to be Democrats now, and then we're good practicing Catholics. We must stay with the party that elected the first Catholic president and supports abortion up to and including the moment of death. Just don't ask them to think logically about it. You're not really going to want these people on your Trivial Pursuit team. So we'll get into the Harris reaction. We'll get into the Massachusetts debate. Some of the audio is hilarious. And it turns out that Boston is just a cesspool of oppression and racism. I had no idea. It's been controlled by Democrats since January 6th of 1930? There was a 1 4-year period where they had a Republican mayor back then. It ended in 1930. And then the previous, 40 years was Democrats again, too. And it turns out that that hasn't worked out too well for the black residents of Boston. And still, they'll get 90% of the vote. Go figure. So we'll get to all of that and more. But first, let me tell you about AncientLifeOil.com. You're in the market for CBD oil, or you're CBD curious. Be honest, you are. You want to know what the hype is about. Well, the hype is about something that shocked the hell out of me. The little aches and pains that you have, the anxiety, the eye strain, whatever it is, the restlessness at night, those things bothering you. You should try some CBD oil. Do some research. See what people are saying about CBD oil. Talk to your friends and family. I bet you know somebody who's using it. Then when you come to the realization that you're missing the boat on this and you want to try it, don't try that swill that you get at the gas station or the grocery store or whatever. Who knows what's in that? AncientLifeOil.com has 100% organic, pure CBD oil for the taking. Various flavors, whatever flavor you like. The choco mint is my favorite. The cinnamon's pretty good too, but you can go with the no flavor, whatever you choose. And you can choose your THC level. Don't worry, the minute level in the regular is not going to get you high. It just won't, but some people are nervous. So they have completely THC free as well up there. Throw that in the cart. You decide to give it a shot. You enter promo code Derek at checkout, my name, D-E-R-E-K. Click apply, get free fast shipping. Ancient Life Oil has all sorts of supplements and things to help you feel better. Check it out. Free shipping on all of it if you enter promo code Derek at checkout and click apply. You help the show, you help yourself, you help everybody. The circle of life continues. Okay, Kamala Harris. Did I mention that Kamala Harris is historic? Now, I don't know if some people are arguing you pronounce her name Kamala, like comma, like the comma in writing. And other people say Kamala. I couldn't give two piles of dog crap how you pronounce it. It's Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris. I'm going to pronounce it however it comes out of my mouth. But when you can't really argue on merits, you simply argue. And that seems to be the stance many people have taken. Just argue, just argue, just distract. Why? Because the alternative would be to talk about her record, or really lack thereof, and her stances on things. It's kind of funny. When her choice was announced, the New York Times declared her a moderate. I know. And look, you got to do what you got to do. But you can't help but laugh when the New York Times is declaring some left-winger a moderate. Wow, she's right down the middle. She's not right down the middle. Because while Newsweek, or while the New York Times was declaring her to be a moderate, Newsweek was pointing out how her voting record puts her to the left of Bernie Sanders. So which is it? It literally can't be both. She can't be a pragmatic centrist, as the Times put it, or the most liberal senator in the United States Senate. It can be one or the other. Being both is a tall order, is tough to do. They're trying to. They want her to be all things to all people, or anything to any people. They just desperately want her to appeal to someone because, frankly, Joe Biden doesn't. I think most of Biden's support is, so you're saying there's a guy running who's not Donald Trump. I'm in. But I don't think most people are considering or paying attention to what's really going on. So we're going to discover a little bit today of what's really going on. I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed. I'm vamping, even though I could just stop the tape, to try and find this Newsweek article, because it's hilarious to me that they would try to portray her as some sort of moderate, wonderful person. Not, I don't know if she's not wonderful, but not for me. Here it is. Newsweek magazine. This isn't, you know, the New York Newsweek is more left than the New York Times. They have a story, Kamala Harris more liberal than Bernie Sanders, Senate record analysis shows. You're like, what the hell? Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's pick for vice presidential running mate, Democratic California Senator Kamala Harris, was ranked as being more liberal than Democratic Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, the congressperson often considered the furthest to the left in the Democratic caucus. They're very PC, but they did not mention that Kamala Harris was historic, so I'm sure they'll have to issue a correction at some point, because I believe by law now, you have to refer to her as historic from this day forward. The government watchdog GovTrack.us ranked all 100 U.S. senators with an ideological score from 1, most conservative, to 0.0, most liberal. The score is based on each senator's legislative behavior, namely how similar the pattern of bills and resolutions they co-sponsor are to other congressional members. So what was Bernie's score versus what was Kamala's score? Well, Bernie Sanders nailed it. I thought he, you know, had nearly perfect season, as good as any. According to GovTrack.us, Sanders got an ideological score of 0.02. That's 0.02. That's almost, that's a round, you round down. It's zero. But you can't round down because Harris actually scored all donuts across the board. That's right. They gave her a 0.00. Together, according to Newsweek, they ranked as the most liberal members of the Senate. The website said Harris joined bipartisan bills the least often compared to Senate Democrats. Quote, of the 471 bills that Harris co-sponsored, 15% were introduced by a legislator who was not a Democrat. That's it. 15. And by the way, co-sponsoring is a freaking joke. I want to know what bills they wrote, but those would be the same thing. One thing I will say in Harris's, not in Harris's defense, in Bernie's defense, because there are probably a lot of Bernie bros out there going, bruh, what's up, bruh? Thought you was liberal, and now you're way more conservative than Kamala Harris is. The reason likely that Bernie got a 0.02 and not a 0.00 is likely because he wouldn't sign on to certain liberal bills. Not because he thought that they're not liberal enough or that they're conservative. Well, he probably thought they were too conservative. See, if you don't sign on to the legislation, you don't get credit for that bill. It's not, even if it's a left-wing piece of legislation. Bernie would sit over there and pull out what remains of his hair wrapped around his head and say, that's not liberal enough. That doesn't go far enough. It still allows people a little bit of freedom. We can't have that. I will not co-sponsor your bill. There you go. That's most likely how Bernie Sanders ended up pulling a 0.02 compared to Kamala Harris's perfect ERA of 0.00. It's also how effective she is at getting legislation passed. So, yes, this is what qualifies. Newsweek, most liberal in the Senate, according to analysis. New York Times, a pragmatic centrist moderate who just wants to get along. Well, how did Kamala Harris become a
nominee, a viable candidate. Well, she wasn't a viable candidate for president. She was such a bad presidential candidate. She didn't even make it to Iowa. It's a pathetic story. It really is. All the promise, all the press, the glowing, drooling media that she got, the tens of millions of dollars that she raked in. And she dropped out in the first week of December, a month, full month before voting even took place in Iowa. She's like, I am not getting any traction. I've called Joe Biden a racist six ways from Sunday, and nobody is paying it. Oh, by the way, it's funny now, the Washington Post has a story about how, no, Kamala Harris didn't call Joe Biden a racist. No, she didn't stand up like she's Donald Sutherland at the end of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake and go, ah, and point at him like he was a racist. She actually prefaced her calling him a racist by saying, I don't think you're a racist. But she said, but you sure do like racists. You praise racists, you celebrate racists, you cheered racists, and you took racist actions. Now, according to what we've been inundated with for the past 2-3 months, denying your racism is racist, right? That's the very definition of white fragility. Ask Robin DiAngelo as she hammers one of her giant checks she's getting from universities. And, you know, the University of Connecticut's paying her $20,000 to come up and speak because, you know, to learn about racism and oppression, you've got to pay a rich white lady to fly across the country to lecture you about how racist you are. She's also getting $2,000. This is all according to the College Fix. She's also getting $2,000 for travel expenses. I don't believe she's coming in from the moon, but truth, I imagine she won't fly coach. Can't imagine she'd fly coach. And she also gets something like $320 an hour for phone calls in setting up her demands and getting this speech all ready to go. And oh, by the way, for that deep, deep, cheap price of $20,000 plus, it'll probably end up being north of 30 by the time it's done, the university is not allowed to record her speech. Why? Well, because of racism or something. Probably because if somebody recorded it and put it online, one of these $20,000, $30,000 speeches she's giving to these universities, put it online, people would be horrified that anybody paid that much money for that bullshit. Some rich white lady saying, no, you're a racist, and if you deny it, that's more proof of your racism. It's the best. I wish I would have thought of it. It is the best racket ever. You sit there and you think you need to find to start a business. You need to find a market that's underserved. And who'd have thought that the underserved market that would be the biggest gold mine out there, at least for 2020, is a whole bunch of white liberals who are fabulously wealthy, disposable income up the ass, who want to be told how racist they are. I could have filled that void. I really could have. Anyway, back to Kamala Harris. Let's get into how she got into politics and how Willie Brown's Willie got into her. Fox News has this story from January 27th, 2019. See, Willie Brown is old enough. He doesn't give a shit anymore. He's 84 years old. Everybody knows he's kind of a scumbag personally, so he just kind of embraces it. Once you get over 80, maybe even 75, you just don't give a damn anymore. And you're just going to tell anything you want. You'll embarrass your kids. You'll embarrass your grandkids. You'll embarrass yourself. You'll humiliate anybody who did anything. You just don't care. You just don't. And that's Willie Brown. The former San Francisco mayor, Willie Brown, addressed his past extramarital relationship with U.S. Senator Kamala Harris this in his weekly column Saturday, saying he may have boosted the presidential hopeful's career. He boosted something. Quote, yes, we dated. It was more than 20 years ago, Brown wrote in the San Francisco Chronicle. Yes, I may have influenced her career by appointing her to two state commissions when I was California Assembly Speaker, and I certainly helped with her first race for district attorney in San Francisco. Yeah, hell yeah. I gave her all kinds of help. I helped her right there on that kitchen table. See that stain over there? That was probably me helping her or somebody else. So, yeah, her first job in politics, well, I'd have to say technically it would be at least her second job in politics, but the first job for which she received pay, or direct pay, was a direct result of Willie Brown and Willie's Willie. So progressive, so wonderful, so amazing, this Kamala Harris. Merit, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for and not finding in Kamala Harris's biography. But then merit is a dirty word in Democratic Party politics. They don't want immigration based on it. They don't want people rewarded based on it. They don't want income based on it. They want it all based on skin color. And that, aside from the historic nature of the historic choice of the historic candidate who is historically put on a historic ticket to run for the historic Democratic Party in a historic election, is really what Kamala Harris brings to the table. It's kind of sad, actually, that this country, this so much of this country, embraces this sort of crap, you know? Because if you look at David Axelrod, who was Barack Obama's campaign manager, he's the guy who got the Jack Ryan, I think his name was Jack Ryan, divorce records unsealed from actress Jeri Ryan. Remember, they divorced years before Jack Ryan was running for the Senate, the same year that Barack Obama was running for the Senate the first time, the only time. And Jack Ryan had his divorce records unsealed. Well, he didn't have them unsealed. David Axelrod and the gang from Obamaville had the records unsealed. They wanted to know if anything was embarrassing in there. Well, it's nobody's damn business, I thought, but they were rewarded. A liberal judge in Chicago, because of course it's Chicago, said, yes, the world does need to know what happened between these two consenting adults that caused their marriage to dissolve. I will unseal these records. And it turns out they were interested in swing clubs or something like that. And he was embarrassed. He should have never. Nowadays, you'd get a reality show and probably elected to the Senate from Illinois. But back then, Ryan had decency. And so he stepped down. They put in Alan, what's his face? Can't even remember off the top of my head. But that didn't go well. He didn't live there. He lived in Virginia. So pathetic. And Barack Obama became a senator. David Axelrod, who used to be a journalist, who claims to be a journalist, who's now a college professor and a CNN contributor, wrote a piece, Why Kamala Harris Won the VP Contest. And down in it, buried near the bottom, he goes through some of the other candidates. And it turns out that Kamala Harris was the best black candidate, or off-white candidate, depending on how you want to look at it, of the women that Joe Biden had to choose from. He writes, He reportedly clicked well with Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, but she would not have fulfilled the desires of those who prioritized a candidate of color. Whitmer, a white moderate pick, would also have raised questions among supporters of progressive champion Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, widely viewed after a lifetime of advocacy and a strong campaign for president as a tough, brilliant, and capable policymaker. So it sounds to me like not even reading between the lines, it sounds like Biden wanted to go with Gretchen Whitmer, which is, just shows you how incompetent he is. But because they got along better, they clicked well, they meshed well. Plus, Gretchen Whitmer hadn't spent the campaign calling Joe Biden a racist like Kamala Harris did. But she was the wrong skin color. So not only did Joe Biden right off the bat eliminate half the population from consideration in the name of progress. I'm not sure that's progress toward what, but it's progress, I guess. But he eliminated most of the half he had left because of their skin color. This selection process was really the most Democratic Party thing the Democratic Party has done in quite some time. What bathroom do you use? Okay, we're not interested in you. Doesn't matter your qualifications. Doesn't matter what you bring to the table. You use the wrong bathroom. You've got the wrong engine under the hood, if you will. And then hold up your arms. Let me check those forearms for skin color. You're the wrong one. We can't serve your kind here. We need to play identity politics. So at best, at absolute best, according to David Axelrod, Kamala Harris was the third best suited candidate for a job where they eliminated half the potential candidates. I'm not really sure I'd brag about that one, but hey, Kamala Harris, she got her start in politics getting screwed. She gets screwed this way, so I guess she's used to it by now. I do find it funny, however, the idea that she is the right race, that Biden is much more comfortable around white women. Their hair smells much better. I assume he has a preference in product, and apparently white women use that product at a higher rate than black women do. But there is a controversy surrounding Kamala Harris's ethnicity. Why? How? Because the left's toxic identity politics knows no bounds. It knows no depths. It knows no way to stop. It is that freaking insane that they look at a woman whose father was black and say, yes, but he was Jamaican. Now, this is something I've heard from listeners. It's something I've heard from callers. It's something I've heard from readers for a long time, dating back to when Kamala Harris was a viable candidate in the Democratic primary. It is not just me that has heard this, though, because liberals who buy into this identity politics crap really care about this. They've been trained. They are very Pavlovian in this. They hear the bell and they jerk back, racist, racist, racist. Kamala Harris's father is from Jamaica and her mother is from India. She is a first generation American. Her parents moved here before she was born. She was born here. There's no controversy there. The controversy lies mainly on the left, with some on the left who really have bought into this identity politics crap. I want to play a clip from last year from CNN. Now, this will be memory hold. This will, because last night, or I guess two nights ago, on CNN, Don Lemon was lecturing the country about how she's a black woman and she's an Asian woman, which, I don't know, I never thought of India as Asian. I know they do that in the British press. We don't traditionally do that here when the Pakistani grooming gangs, which we would have called rape gangs, but in the UK they call them grooming gangs, when they were all getting arrested and everybody was saying, hey, wait a second, the government knew about this and didn't do anything because of political correctness, they always referred to them as Asian gangs. And when you think of Asian gangs, I think of, like, I don't know, what the hell is the name of that Chinese gang? Damn it, I can't think of the Chinese mafia name. It's on the tip of my tongue. I just had it. Anyway, that's what I think of. But now we're going to start getting that India is part of Asia. And it's going to be funny. Yakuza. There you go. It's going to be funny to watch this because it's not something that's done traditionally in the United States. It's going to be the British style adopted, that India is not its own country. It's, you know, 1.5 billion people or 1.2 billion people. They don't even know. It's a lot of people. And they're going to be sort of crushed in with the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Philippines, everything. They're just going to go, that's Asia. And you really look at it, there is a wildly distinct culture from India and the rest of Asia. So geographically, maybe, but this is a new thing because we have a category called Indian Americans, right? They're actually doing quite well in this country. But that doesn't really appeal to a group that the Democrats want to appeal to. They want to appeal broader. So they're making Kamala Harris out to be an Asian American and African American. And it's that stupid. But the African American part is what caused controversy last year while she was running for president, and what people have taken issue with even to today. I don't care. I think that people have too much time on their hands to waste on this sort of crap. But because, you know, the black people in Jamaica came from somewhere. I just don't know how many steps backwards do you go? Does it matter? Is it ethnicity? Is it nationality? Is it race? It seems to be whatever the left wants it or needs it to be or can fundraise off of it at any given moment, and everybody else just plays along in the media. I don't care. But Don Lemon did care, and April Ryan did care last year. Now, if this conversation were to take place today on Fox, and I can vouch for it because on Monday on, The Blaze, on Levin TV, Mark Levin talked about this, and one of the goon squad over at Media Matters tweeted it out going, Mark Levin is ranting about whether or not Kamala Harris is really an African-American or not. First of all, Mark can rant, but Mark wasn't ranting. Mark was actually just speaking rather calmly. The Media Matters goon is just a goon, and that's what he's paid to do. It's funny the guy was like, his title was like news director or some shit like that. News director at Media Matters for America. Yeah. Okay, Adolf, get back into the bunker and watch Fox and shut the hell up. But back when Kamala Harris was running for president, Don Lemon and April Ryan had the exact same conversation, and it actually did get kind of heated. April Ryan got very upset. Now, why two grown adults would, at least chronologically, would argue over whether or not Kamala Harris was African-American or just black will be for something that forever remains a mystery to me, but they did. They won't like this clip coming back, and they'll probably try to scrub it from the internet. And if anybody has this conversation now, it will be deemed wildly racist. But this is what liberals were talking about back then. But before we get to that, the Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump really wants to give you a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure the lucky winner is one of his top supporters. Be sure to enter soon because this is an opportunity you don't want to miss. This offer is only going to a select group of supporters, and you're one of them. All you have to do is text Derek to 88022 today for your chance to win a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat and own a piece of history. Again, that's D-E-R-E-K to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for four more years. This was paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. All right, so last year, Kamala Harris running for the Democratic nomination for president. April Ryan insists she's black and therefore she's African American. Don Lemon insists Kamala Harris is black, but she's not African American. African American actually carries with it a lot of baggage or weight with it that shows that you come from a culture that somehow involves, it doesn't, neither one of these arguments make any damn sense because Kamala Harris wasn't alive during that crap. She lived in Berkeley. Was Berkeley during the 60s and 70s a cesspool of racist oppression? Is that what they're trying to argue? When she was 12, she moved to Montreal with her mom. Her parents, by the way, were two college professors, so it's not like she's growing up on the streets in a roughneck neighborhood. Her parents did quite well, and she was never really going without. And then she moved to Montreal. So it's, again, you moved from Berkeley to Montreal. Was the oppression so bad in the United States that it impacted French-speaking Canadian provinces? I don't think so. But anyway, listen to, see if you can make any sense and if you think there's a winner in this. I hesitate to call it a discussion. It's a little bit of a spat, a lover's quarrel, if you will, between NPR, which means you pay for her, NPR's April Ryan, and CNN, which means we all pay for it. Don Lemon talking about whether or not Kamala Harris is just black or if she's African-American.
Number one, she is a black woman. She's a mixed race woman. When you see her, you see her blackness, but she is also South Asian. Her mom is South Asian and her dad is Jamaican.
Let me listen. Yes. More power to her. And I think it's great. That should be enough. Listen, it is enough that she's a black woman.
We are not a monolith.
I think you're not hearing what people are saying. The people who are saying is she black enough, that's bull. That's BS. But to want a distinction to say is she African American or is she black or is she whatever. There is nothing wrong with that. There is a difference between being African American and being black. Latino people are people of color, but they're not black. They're brown people.
She is a woman of color, but she is a black woman.
Okay, that's why I agree with that. I agree with that, but is she African American?
No.
But is she African American? There is a difference. There's nothing wrong with that. No one is trying to take anything away from her.
Let's go down into her lineage.
I think you're falling into the trap of that. All she had to do was say, I am black, but I'm not African American. That's it.
Let me finish. Hold on. I'm not falling into a trap by that. When she goes down her lineage, many Africans landed in Jamaica and all these other Caribbean islands. So she could indeed be African American mixed with other races. But she is
Not America.
But she is a black woman. She
Jamaica
was born
did not
here.
Come in out of Jim Crow.
Okay, well
let's
go
saying.
Into Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz
was
born in Canada.
I'm not talking about Ted Cruz. This is not
Cuban.
About Ted Cruz. You're changing
the
subject. I know,
but you know what?
And then it just gets dumber, if you can imagine that, from there. It literally just gets dumber from there. So these people are paid hundreds of thousands in April Ryan's case, I imagine, although probably more than a million, and Don Lemon is paid millions for that sort of analysis, for that sort of discussion. What kind of adult human being has it? You can be black without, blah, 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 you didn't experience Jim Crow. Neither did you. She grew up, she was born in the United States. So if this country is so wildly oppressive, everywhere you go, even Berkeley, California, the height of the hippie movement, was so wildly racist, then she grew up in America. So I'm trying to figure out either one of their logics. I understand Don Lemon's point. She's black, but she's not African American because she's Jamaican. But then April Ryan is, I don't know what the hell she's arguing. But it's weird how Jamaican isn't a race. Jamaican is a nationality. It's not even really an ethnicity, is it? I don't know. I'm going down a rabbit hole that there is no bottom to. But I love this argument because now if you have that discussion, and I wouldn't have that discussion, but if you have that discussion, you're a racist. You're an unequivocal racist, and you know who would line up first to call you a racist? Don Lemon and April Ryan. Both of them would be right there going, my God, are we listening to a Klan rally? If you could change their voices and just have that audio read, if you could have that audio performed by somebody else and then played for Don Lemon and for April Ryan, they would be outraged and they would be calling for whoever those people were to be fired immediately and banned from television for the rest of their natural born lives and at least 20 years after their death. But that's what they were talking about last year. That was an argument they had as it happened. Now they have groups out there that are insisting that the media coverage of Kamala Harris, or it was actually a letter sent by a group of women's groups on August 6th, so a few days before, a group of pro-abortion women. The most notable names are Alexis Gill Johnson from Planned Parenthood, Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama's brain, and Cecile Richards, who was a longtime head of Planned Parenthood, who now runs something called Supermajority. And then there are other groups, Emily's List, Time's Up, NARAL, National Women's Law Center. The headline on their memo to editors, it's sent to news division heads, editors, and chief bureau chiefs, political directors, editors, producers, reporters, and anchors. It's entitled, We Have Her Back. And the subject line is, news coverage for the vice presidential candidate. We are reaching out today because we are about to embark on a historic moment. Once again, having a woman on a presidential campaign. While you have already done significant reporting on the process, we know you are actively preparing for coverage about this specific Democratic vice presidential nominee, given how few women have reached this point. The sometimes disappointing coverage of the process to date and the double standards we've seen in public and media expectations of women leaders over the years, and even more so for black and brown women leaders. We wanted to respectfully share some thoughts with you about the media's role in the scrutiny and coverage of women and women of color candidates in general, and the vice presidential candidate in particular. These people are... I don't get it. Those women are so oppressed because Hillary Clinton's campaign coverage in 2016 was nothing but negative. Oh my God, they just kept calling her bitch all the time and said, doesn't she look fat in those pantsuits? No, no, Hillary Clinton got incredibly glowing coverage. The only thing that they didn't like, the left didn't like, is that they also covered, you know, the illegal shit that she did. So they racked that up to sexism. Now that it's an off-white woman, they're really ready to go to the mattresses for this one. Later in their two-page memos, women have been subject to stereotypes and tropes about qualifications, leadership, looks, relationships, and experience. Those stereotypes are often amplified and weaponized for black and brown women. God, it's like... we're all victims. Some people are more victimhood than others. Oh, victim, 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 victim. Attempts at legitimate investigations of a candidate have repeatedly turned into misguided stories that perpetuate impressions of women as inadequate leaders, and black and brown women as worse. Really? I've missed the news reports over the last couple of years where they're like, chicks, man. They should not even be driving cars. They're so messed up and emotional. You sure as hell don't want them in positions of leadership, especially those off-white ladies. Are those not the most emotionals? But this is the world that they're claiming exists. There are multiple ways that media coverage over the years has contributed to these facts, to the fact of the lack of diversity at the top of society's roles. For example, we nominated Hillary Clinton in 2016, and my God, what were we thinking? No, they don't say that. So reporting on a woman's ambition, as though the very nature of seeking political office or any higher job, for that matter, is not a mission of ambition. Relationships with partners, staff, colleagues, and donors are characterized differently if the woman is not seen as subservient or supportive. Again, what in the hell are these people watching and reading? Reporting on whether a woman is liked, a subjective metric at best, as though it is news when the likability of men is never considered a legitimate news story. Reporting even as asides in a story on a woman's looks, weight, tone of voice, attractiveness, and hair is sexist news coverage unless the same analysis is applied to every candidate. It goes on from there with more dribbling left-wing psychobabble. So here's what I propose. We tell these broads, get your shoes off, get pregnant, get back in the kitchen. I'm just kidding. Nobody wants to impregnate them. We tell them we're going to treat Kamala Harris exactly the same way the media has treated Donald Trump. We're going to treat Joe Biden the same way too. Watch them shit their pants. Watch them absolutely freak out. Wait, no, you can't do that. Why? Well, because everything on their list here is exactly the things that they've done, said, written, spoken, or are doing to Donald Trump. Just that last one right there. Reporting, even as asides in a story on a woman's looks, weight, tone of voice, attractiveness, and hair is sexist news coverage. How many times have you seen people on MSNBC comment on Donald Trump's looks? He looks pasty. He looks lost. My God, his skin is orange. Around his eyes is what's going on. Why are they talking about his looks? Wait, Nancy Pelosi called him morbidly obese on television not all that long ago. Tone of voice. Donald Trump, his way of speaking, it's mocked constantly by leftists, is it not? Attractiveness. He's such an ugly man, both inside and out. And his hair. Do you think there have been more than a couple of casual mentions about Donald Trump's hair in the last 4 years? I think there have been. So, apparently, since that was all done about and to Donald Trump, then it's game on Biden and Kamala Harris. Game on. Nothing is out of bounds. Nothing is beyond reach because these are their rules. They just set them. We have to treat the vice presidential nominee and Joe Biden exactly the same way we've treated Donald Trump. So excellent. We can speculate on Joe Biden's mental capacity or failing mental capacity till the cows come home, because Democrats spent hours talking about the 25th Amendment, have they not? We can talk about Kamala Harris's weight and her looks and her hair if we so choose. Why? Because they've done all of that about Donald Trump. Unless, of course, they didn't mean it. Unless, of course, they're raging hypocrites. But they wouldn't do that, would they? Of course they would. The announcement, by the way, is kind of funny. There was a still photo released yesterday by the Biden campaign of Joe having a Zoom call, a video chat with Kamala Harris, where he was offering her the VP slot, and she proudly accepted it. They took a picture of it. Joe Biden, for some reason, is looking at a computer monitor with Kamala Harris on it, presumably the video chat, but then he's also holding his iPhone upside down on speakerphone toward the laptop. Don't really understand what was going on there, but underneath that you could see a script for Joe Biden. That means that dude had a script to call up Kamala Harris to offer her the number two slot on his ticket. He needed a script. Let me see. Checked my note. You are my number one. No, one. One choice for this. Would you like to be my running mate? Sorry. I had a hyphen. Went to the beginning of the next line. You are wonderful and strong. No, that's not a question. No, never mind. He had a script. You could read the lines he was saying. Now, even it was so bad that even CNN had to comment on it. John King yesterday commenting on this. Now, he's doing it kind of in a way to try and defuse the situation, trying to undercut the Republicans mocking it, as I just did and as everybody should. But he still had to acknowledge that it wasn't a great look. Here it is.
Underneath the phone there, there's a bit of a script. Now, some of this has already appeared in a campaign ad, so the Biden team says, well, they're scripting a campaign ad. But there is a question that this did not leak out. They rolled it out the way they wanted to. Most of this rollout went well. Do they regret having the script that allows the critics of Biden to say, see, he needs typed notes even to pick his running mate?
Of course it's bad. Of course it's awful. He needs a script. He needs a damn script. The most important decision of his life. And look, it's not like he's asking her to go steady, for Christ's sakes. He's asking her to be his vice presidential running mate. You shouldn't have to need notes. Actually, it wasn't notes. It was a word-for-word script for the campaign to say, well, we were scripting a commercial. So what? My God. Do you still need a script to offer somebody? What you're saying is the whole thing was a setup. It was a scam. So if Joe Biden has a script, then since it's scripted for a commercial, then Kamala Harris has a script as well. And they're both working off of their scripts with one another, right? Isn't that, then the whole moment was disingenuous, and she knew that she'd already been picked. It wasn't a spontaneous moment. It wasn't the moment, the actual literal moment that he offered her the job. It wasn't. It was, there was, had to have been calls beforehand and say, all right, we're going to send you, we're going to email you your script. And when Joe says X, you make sure you say Y and so on and so forth. It's such garbage to sit there and say, well, you know, Republicans will say that. Well, Republicans will say that because it's true. Because it's true. I want to play this clip from MSNBC. There's a professor at Morgan State University, a historically black college, named Jason Johnson. He's an MSNBC contributor. I don't know in what. I don't know what he teaches, but I know that he's a pretty racist dude, and he's always, they always say whenever it's a race issue, all the cable networks go, bring me black people to talk about this. We couldn't possibly have anybody who's not black on to talk about this with our white hosts. And he was on, and he's got a very Hitlerific idea for the role of Kamala Harris in a Biden administration. And it is to find anybody who is impure, anybody who remains in government, who may well be a sympathizer for the Trump administration, anybody who was appointed or hired during the Trump administration, they must be destroyed. The purge must be complete and total. And then, after they purge the bureaucracy of the impure, they go after the judges. You think I'm joking. You think I'm exaggerating. I am not. This is what passes for acceptable and worth paying for. Political analysis over at MSNBC.
But I'm going to jump a little bit forward. I'm going to assume, let's say magically that Joe Biden wins the presidency and Senator Harris becomes Vice President Harris. What I think she would be best at, what I actually think makes her more qualified than some of the other people. Someone, once Biden takes office, is going to be tasked with going through this entire administration with a fine-tooth comb and basically expunging all the Trumpists. Like getting rid of the bath party in Iraq. Like somebody's got to go through and find all of these incompetent, unqualified, corrupt, white nationalist supporting people that Trump has burrowed into our State Department, burrowed into our Justice Department. And I think Senator Harris would be fantastic at finding those people and removing them because she'll have the skill set to not only get rid of the officials and the bureaucrats, she can help us impeach some of these judges, these underqualified judges that Donald Trump has managed to push in. So I think that actually was one of the things that I think about. Should she become vice president, she would be better at than any of the other top candidates that Joe Biden was looking at.
The public executions are going to be lit, yo. It's going to be awesome. Can you imagine an adult human being, an American citizen, saying we must go through and we must make sure that everyone is pure, anybody with any Trump sympathies whatsoever in any department of government must be gotten rid of. We'll set up Kamala Harris in a room with a folding chair and a bright spotlight and nothing else. No water. We'll make it really hot and we'll sit them there. And we'll say, how are you now, or have you ever been sympathetic to tax cuts? What do you think about going after China on trade? If I said Chinese virus, what is your reaction? Well, you say you find it disgusting, but the machine to which you are hooked up says a different thing. To the gallows! Get rid of them! This is a professor. Now, this professor, I assume, would have tenure. Tenure is designed specifically to protect idiots like Jason Johnson from other idiots in the administration coming in and saying, you're fired because you said something I disagree with. Yet somebody protected by that very concept wants to go through the civil service rolls and purge anybody impure from them. Now, if this is the way the left says they want to conduct themselves in power, believe them, and believe much worse, because they'll do actually much, much worse. You think they're telling you everything. They aren't telling you everything. But I will say this to the Trump administration. If this is the standard, if this is the rule, then right now you need to go through those same bureaucracies and shit can every single person who was hired under the Obama administration's effort in the last year of their administration. It might have been the last 2 years. The Obama administration took a whole bunch of political appointees and hired them into the bureaucracy permanently, thereby embedding them. No political appointees resign or are fired, replaced. They understand that when one administration ends. the new administration may keep them on for a period of time or indefinitely if it's of the same party. But generally, they are relieved of their duties and replaced with political appointees of the president coming in. Barack Obama knew this, and since these fascists think long term, they hired permanently a whole bunch of people that were political appointees into jobs that are civil servant jobs. They changed the status of a bunch of jobs to make the jobs permanent. That way, the deep state could be even deeper ingrained. Now, since that doesn't apply to Republicans in the Trump administration, anybody who was hired during the Trump administration, then that should be applied now. The Trump administration should rid the government of all these progressive activists hired by the Obama administration. Let's get rid of them. Of course, they would, including Jason Johnson, they would absolutely soil themselves if a Republican even suggested such a thing. The term fascist, totalitarian, would be thrown around. But they are the fascists. They are the totalitarians. They aren't throwing this around casually. They're on MSNBC discussing it as what should happen. And then we turn our attention to the judges. We don't think they're qualified. Well, tough shit. The Senate thought they were qualified, and that's all that matters. Don't be surprised if they start going after judges and packing courts. The Nazis were undeterred by the laws that prevented them from imposing their will. They simply ignored them, plowed right over them, or repealed them, and they got rid of anybody else who stood in their way. They're threatening to do it again. They're telling you exactly who they are. Believe them. Lastly today, I want to take a trip up to Massachusetts. There's a Senate race up there between incumbent Democrat Ed Markey, longtime member of the House of Representatives. He was the proponent of net neutrality in the House, and he ended up running for the Senate and won. It's at the end of his first term. He's being challenged in the Democratic primary by Joseph Kennedy III, because it's Massachusetts, and they elected him to the House. And in Massachusetts, people are stupid, and they go, oh, Kennedy. So this is a bit of a dogfight up there. Who's going to win? Who knows? It's a liberal off. There was one moment, there were two moments I want to play for you. One is when Joe Kennedy is talking about housing in Boston. Ed Markey wants to give everybody, particularly black people, money to buy a house in Boston because housing prices are so expensive. He wants them to be able to buy a house in suburbs they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford. What could go wrong? Does anybody remember 2008? But Kennedy, in his response, talks about the median net worth of white households versus black households in the city of Boston. Listen to this staggering statistic.
We have in Boston, as of 2018, the median net worth of a white household is $247,000. The median net worth of a black household is $8. That disparity comes down to, one, lack of economic opportunity, lack of good wages, good paying jobs, but the inability to then gain access to a housing market.
$200,000+, the median, meaning as many above as below. And $8? Really? I don't know. I didn't look it up. I don't care enough to look it up. That a Democrat is claiming that was disturbing enough. But then I thought, well, who the hell is running Boston? And who's been running Boston for a while now? So I looked it up. The last Republican mayor of Boston was a guy named Malcolm Nichols, who served from January 4th, 1926 to January 6th, 1930. That means 90 years of uninterrupted Democratic Party rule. 90 years of Democrats. Now, prior to Nichols in the mayoralty of Boston was George A. Hibbard in 1908 to 1910. That was back when the term was 2 years. So since February 7th, 1910, 110 years ago, plus, Democrats have controlled the, and that was, by the way, that was John F. Fitzgerald, who I believe was John F. Kennedy's grandfather. 1910 to 1914. So starting in 1910 until now, there have been 110 years, 106 of those years have been controlled by Democrats in Boston. And the median black family net worth is $8. And Democrats get elected in Boston. Democrats get elected in Massachusetts. Who in the hell is dumb enough to vote for these people? You sit there and you go, well, things have really gone to shit, but they're Democrats. So they know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing, or actually they know exactly what they're doing. And people are brainwashed into believing that they're, oh, they're working for me. They're helping me. They're trying to, they're looking for the little guy. And meanwhile, the little guy is getting anally raped by the elite in Boston. So, yeah, congratulations. What the hell is wrong with people? Lastly, there was a little spat between Markey and Kennedy. Apparently, Kennedy's dad, I think is Robert, I don't know which Kennedy kid he is. I couldn't care less. But he's got a super PAC with his twin brother where they're out there. It's got to be Robert Kennedy's. I think all the rest of them are dead. They got a super PAC attacking Markey. Markey does not like that. Markey's trying to say, we need to have no negative ads. No negative. It's the battle of the Boston accents. Ask your father. Tell your father. What about your father? Just listen. These are two grown adults, one of whom will end up being in the United States Senate next. One of them already is. The other's in the House of Representatives. This is the best the state of Massachusetts. You gave us John Adams. You gave us Sam. You gave us so many people. And you've been reduced to these two clowns?
Saying is, with all these relentless ads coming in, he says, I have no idea if my father, he's saying, I have no idea if my father is providing the funding for all of these negative ads that are being run, because they should be positive. Any super PAC for me should be positive, any super PAC for him. So here's what I would say to the congressman. I'm sure your father's watching right now. Tell your father right now that you don't want money to go into a super PAC that runs negative ads. And just tell your twin brother and tell your father you don't want any money to be spent on negative ads in Massachusetts in 2020 in the era of Donald Trump.
Senator, let him respond.
I've said that multiple times.
Have you told your father that?
I've said that publicly multiple times.
Have you said it to your father?
Publicly.
Have you said it to your father?
Publicly, Senator.
Tell your father you don't want the money to be spent on negative ads.
Senator.
Do you want it?
Senator.
Will you make that clear?
Let him answer.
Senator.
They were 1 second away from Markey telling Kennedy, go get your fucking shine box. These are adults. One of them is a United States Senator. One is a member of the House of Representatives, Massachusetts. You got that little boot-shaped Cape Cod off your coast. Can't you boot them both in the ass? I mean, where's Scott Brown when you need him? Which state is he running in this year? I can't even keep track of him. Oh, the clown show is only going to get clownier, ladies and gentlemen. If the Democrats get control, we're all screwed. That's why the Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump really wants to give you a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure the lucky winner is one of his top supporters. Be sure to enter soon, because this is an opportunity you do not want to miss. The offer is only going to a select group of supporters, and you're one of them. All you have to do is text Derek to 88022 today for your chance to win a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat and own a piece of history. Again, that's Derek, my name, your favorite podcaster, to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for 4 more years and keep it away from clowns like you just heard. This is paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Holy Frank Tanana. When I saw that clip, I'm like, these are adults. These are adults making a lot of money and making decisions that impact our lives. And I'm not sure that, I mean, it sounded like Quinn and Bailey, my two daughters, 3 and 1.5, fighting over a toy. The only difference is when it really comes to scrapping, I think both of my daughters hit harder than either one of those two guys. Massachusetts, can't you do any better? Do it for America. That is all the time we have, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. The Curse Show coming up on Saturday, the Week in Effin' Review, where we really vent and let it fly the way the news should be talked about, quite frankly, is at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. All one word at the end. It's just $5 a month. What have you got to lose aside from some modesty? You know, we could all shed a little modesty. I'll embarrass you. I'll make you roll your eyes and you go, oh, geez, what is he saying? But you know you've had those thoughts. You'll agree with the sentiment and the thoughts, if not the language, and you'll enjoy it because it's a cathartic moment. You can email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. Have a great Thursday. Friday's just around the corner. We'll be back tomorrow. Got a great interview lined up, but I ain't going to jinx it. I'll see you then. Thanks again.
Have you told your father that?
I've said that publicly multiple
times. Have you said it to your father?
Publicly.
Have you said it to your father?
Publicly, Senator.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.